a law corporation providing legal representation for accident victims. Robert Amendola and Associates can be contacted at 916-924-8787. Hmong translation is available by calling 916-599-0039. Just ask for Mr. Yang. All right. Next week, I'm pretty sure it's exactly next week, is Christmas. It's also Hanukkah. Whatever holiday you celebrate, I do hope that it is a happy one. I hope it's a safe one. I hope you're with your family and friends and all kinds of loved ones. And if you're not, you're not alone. So we're thinking about you here at KZFR, and we wish you very, very, very well. This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Until next time, peace out.
Faith in Common Ground is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Celestino's New York Pizza, creating authentic New York-style pizza pies, and also pizza by the slice, as well as salads, desserts, cannolis, and more in downtown Chico since 1997. Celestino's New York Pizza is located across the street from the CSUC Chico campus at 101 Salem Street. For hours and orders, visit celestinosnewyorkpizza.com. They also do catering. You can reach them at 530-896-1234.
Chimed in our big and sat together at the table, finding faith and common ground, the best that they were able. Just before the meal was served, hands were held and prayers were said, sending hope for peace on earth to all their gods and goddesses.
Welcome to Faith in Common Ground. I'm your host, Jesse Kearns.
And I'm your host, Amber St. Clair.
Hey, Amber, you know who I think we should invite to the table this week?
You? Me?
You and me.
You and me.
That sounds like a lot of fun because this is how it got started. You and me sitting at the table.
That's right.
And I don't know, let's give them a little history. Let's give our listeners a little history about Amber and Jesse and how we came to be. So I believe I met you in 2015. I believe it was in October because it was at the Chico Area Interfaith Council annual dinner that we just covered here not too long ago on our show. And the Unitarian Universalist minister, Brian Plude, introduced us.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I just thought you were a fascinating person from the day that I met you. I thought, ooh, she's got a God light in her that it really is something that I wanted to get to know you. And then I think my friend Katie Valentine, my old massage therapist, was not doing massage anymore. And Katie Valentine said, hey, I know somebody who's a really good massage therapist. And guess what? It was you.
Yeah. And then I remember you sent me the Christians and the Pagans Christmas song because yeah. I was asking for suggestions on Facebook for Christmas music.
That's right.
Yeah. And I was like, this is so cool. And I still had a lot of fear of Christians. I was like, And you've really helped me with that a lot over the course of all these years. It's been wonderful. Yeah. In fact, I now have a Christian boyfriend because of you. Thanks Ooh. For leading the way, for opening me up to be able to receive that.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Yeah, no, I always used to have I wouldn't say a negative understanding of paganism. I just had an incomplete understanding of what it meant to be a pagan. Mm. And your work with me, what we have done together over the last, 8 years or so, however long ago.
Right.
Time is, we've been basically living in a state of crisis here in Chico since about 2017. And so time is nothing.
Yeah.
But I have learned a lot to take better care of myself, to understand my relationship with creation, to breathe. You taught me how to breathe. you taught me how to do better yoga. Now Jeanette is my yogi, but you very much pushed me a little farther. Jeanette hadn't taught me sun salutations yet, and you worked my butt off with sun salutations a couple of times.
It was the best.
But one of the things that we've discovered is, of course, the common ground that we have, mm-hmm. and hence the reason why we have this podcast, Faith and Common Ground, mm-hmm. because just like that song says, you get a Christian and a pagan coming together around the table, finding faith and common ground the best that we are able. Mm-hmm. And I think we've done a pretty fair job at that.
I think so.
But how in the world did we get there? Because when you think about, we have different understandings and ideas of politics and religion and social issues, and there's a lot of things that we don't hold in common ground, but we make it work.
Yeah, and interesting, which I think is great for a point for our listeners, is the misconceptions we have about groups of people. Like, I was like, oh, Christians, you know, like they're white supremacists or whatever, right, craziness. And that by actually engaging, you find that within the Christian realm, there's so many kinds of Christians and they all have different ideas and they're even interpreting the Bible differently. And yeah, on some end, there's some, you know, douchebags. And on the other end, there's some real Christ-like people who are wonderful.
Right.
Same thing with pagans or Muslims or any group. It's that it's like there's an individual within that and they have their own beliefs. And oftentimes, it's not what you would think it would be.
Right. And I also think sometimes we think that we're the exception. I think, oh, well, Amber, she's just the exceptional pagan who happens to be this, and you think that about me. Mm-hmm. And what that still does is it shows that we have misconceptions about the
biases,
other.
Right? Yeah.
I'm sure there are other awesome, well, we've met them on the show. You know, we've had a lot of different people on the show who come from varying religious traditions and non-religious traditions, mm-hmm. and we think of them as, oh, they're the exception, but that's not the case. They're out there. There's so many people out there, but we don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it. We just like to push them over into that category of other and keep a hold of our biases that we have against the whole system.
Yeah, I think that some people have a hard time because they want, if they're going to have that conversation, they want you to believe what they believe.
Right.
Instead of just being interested in what they believe and being like, oh, that's fascinating. I can maintain my belief system. You can maintain your belief system.
Right.
We can disagree on some things and we can agree on some things.
Right.
And I think that that's really what we do here is to help people to start to think about things in a different way. And we're not asking you to change who you are.
Right. Yep. So on to these, well, and let's turn the dial back just a little bit and talk about some of these differences, because even in the areas where we have significant differences, we do usually end up finding common ground.
Yes.
We find different ways, but it's because we ask each other.
Mm-hmm.
And your famous phrase, what I hear you saying is, that's something that you have taught me, you know, things that you have taught me over the years. What I hear you saying is making sure that I understand what another person is saying. So what do you want to talk about today, Amber, if we're going to be just laying out on the table here and showing everybody where we are?
Yeah, well, let's go politics because it's hot. It's hot right now, right?
It is.
It is very hot.
Where do we go? I guess, let's see. I could say I was very disappointed in this last election over the presidential pick. What about you?
I'm hyped.
You're hyped. Okay.
And I bet people wouldn't expect that.
No, because you're a pagan. You're supposed to be, oh, woo-woo. You know, They had the Saturday Night Live skit a couple of weeks ago. I think it was one of the comedy shows, and they had a guy playing Gavin Newsom, and you know, and he was in this he was sitting on these pillows in the lotus position. He was like, "Oh, dude, we kind of have this idea that pagans are
liberals,
you're just liberals.
Yeah, we're extreme liberals, right?
Okay,
I am so extreme that I've now come around the other end.
Well, it's interesting because there are some issues that you have that I would consider liberal.
Yeah, for sure. I'm all for trans rights, and I'm pro-abortion, I'm pro-gun, I'm pro-freedom. I'm just pro-freedom is really what it boils down to.
Which is, I think, where we find our common ground right there, because we maybe have just different understandings of what priority gets put on what freedom. Right?
Yeah.
Because I'm in the same boat. I kind of am against the stereotype because I am pro-abortion, but it's not because I like abortion.
Same.
And I think it's a
same
any kind of form of birth control. I just think that in my theology, in my understanding of God, God has given us the choice. That is what makes us uniquely human, is that we are given choices. Mm-hmm. And for me to take away a choice as fundamental as this is my body and what I do with it is, I think that is ungodly.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
And so there's our common ground for, in that realm.
Yeah.
But then when you start talking about things like, let's say vaccines or something like that, that's where we have our differences. So.
Totally. But I would never take away your choice to get a vaccine.
Yes.
But I would say, you better back the fuck up. I'm trying to make me take a vaccine.
Yeah.
I have the right to my body as well and what I do with my body.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting because a lot of people probably agree with both of us. You should be able to take vaccines or get an abortion. Right. I don't have to like your choices at all. I can, in fact, be quite judgmental. I wouldn't do it to your face because it's not my body and it's not my choice. But I'll fight for your rights to do whatever it is you want to do with your body, as long as you're a consenting adult. Because I think you're not biologically developed enough to make some super life-changing decisions.
Right.
And that is where I would hold the line. And I think, again, for me, I went from the Green Party to the Republican Party. What happened?
I think the Republican Party, I hate to say evolved, but different. It's different than it was a while ago. See, when I was in the first time that I could vote, I voted for Reagan.
Yeah.
The first one, when I was able to vote, I voted for Reagan because at that time I thought Reagan spoke to my values at the time. And I still consider him a very good president. And I don't regret voting for him, but over time, as I went through college and learned and things like that, my politics started shifting more to the left. And then when I started trying to reconcile some of those things with my faith, I realized that the Republican Party for me and what it had became was becoming antithetical to what I believe as a Christian.
Yeah.
Because I believe as a Christian, my job is to follow Christ and model my life after Christ. And I couldn't reconcile it. I was having a hard time. And so I found myself kind of leaning to the left. And I got to say, even on the other side of that pendulum, I have problems with the far, far left.
Of course. Too. Yeah. Well, and I think that what we've experienced is such a drastic shift. I mean, when Liz Cheney and Soros endorsed Kamala, I was like, what world am I living in now? This doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I think that it's just, like we said about, our spiritual beliefs, we have these preconceived notions and they're reinforced by biased media and other things. All Republicans and anyone who votes for Trump is a racist. They're going to destroy the environment. They're going to put everybody in concentration camps. And everyone that votes for the left wants to transition kids and, just give free abortions at concerts. Like, it's just ridiculous on both ends, because the majority of people just want to really be left alone to make their own choices. And I think that politics in general, and this is why I was green, because I knew I was throwing away my vote, but to me, for so long, I was kind of a conscientious objector, because it's just about money and power in politics, period. So it doesn't really matter if you're Democrat. There's bad apples on both sides and most sides. Am I a huge fan of the way Trump is portrayed? No. Am I stoked about RFK? You're damn right I am. Mm. And it's not because he's going to take away your vaccines. He just wants them gold standard safety tested and for you to have all the knowledge so that you can make your own decisions. And to me, that and the free speech issue was enough to be like, okay, well, I have to protect my constitutional rights. And now, you know, the warmongers are on the left side. So I don't know what's happening there, but I'm going to go over here because, whoa.
Yeah. And I'm sitting here thinking of a correct way to do this. And this is one of the worst things that I have against the left is that, you know, we have to think so much about, okay, I've got to say this right so I wokeness. Don't offend A, B, and C.
Yeah.
Now see, here's nobody knows what woke means anymore. This is my understanding of woke, okay? Here's how I was taught. I was riding from a conference in Lynchburg, Virginia to go to Philadelphia for our annual church's gathering. And I was with an African-American minister. And on the way there, he was telling me about the Tulsa race riots and how there's this big massacre of black folks in, I believe it was the 1920s. And I said, I've never heard of that before. He says, you didn't hear that? I said, no, none of the history classes. This is the first time I heard it. And he says, oh, you woke now. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? He says, you know, you learned something about history that you didn't know was there before. And so you've been awakened. And that, and theologically, that was great because you see scriptures about awake sleeper, you know?
Yeah, And well, and I think that it has transitioned from woke to awake.
There you go.
Yeah.
And here the deal is now the word woke is used to just say, well, anything that is, you know, to the far left of whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's frustrating because I find myself spending so much time trying to figure out what should I say or what shouldn't I say and how am I going to say it. That's something that you and I can have as common ground. We know that. I still am left center, politically speaking, but yet I can critique my own party and my own movement in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I think we were going somewhere with that and then we get on.
You were saying that there was something that you wanted to say, but you were having to like mentally play gymnastics so that you didn't offend someone.
Yes, and now I can't even remember what I was going to say.
Dang it.
it had something because we were talking about politics, we were talking about left center, it's gone.
Oh, it'll come back.
It'll come back.
But another one of our differences is conspiracies.
Oh, good Lord.
I know. And you're so tolerant of me, and I super appreciate that because first of all, a lot of the conspiracies have come true.
What?
Yeah. It's insane. It's actually crazy.
Don't even say the word chemtrails.
I'm not going to say it. Don't you worry.
This is a joke because that's my trigger word with Amber. You know, that's when we have to worry about whether we're going to be able to stay at the table or not. I will sit and listen and I'll even try to find some truth in it. But the moment the word chemtrails comes out, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I can't do it.
But tell me about it.
So conspiracies are also just like we're talking about with the left and the right. There's, you know, propaganda. There's some true. There's some not true. I'm fascinated by conspiracies, but it doesn't mean I believe every conspiracy.
Right.
Yeah. It's just fun. It's like same thing with the politics. Do I actually have any faith in the political system or the government? No. Am I barely tiny, slight bit hopeful that we might actually get a little bit of goodness out of this administration and that at least my right to free speech is preserved? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But it would be silly to just eat the whole cake and be like, this is the only cake and you're wrong if you don't believe every single thing in the party line. That's right. Just not going to help anybody.
Yeah. Well, now you just reminded me what I was going to say and where I was getting to.
All right.
And that is, in my faith tradition, The Christian faith was very much an anti-Caesar movement. Mm-hmm. Okay, and throughout biblical times, when you read the biblical accounts, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and daggone it, there are people that are out there say, "Well, it's not the Old and New Testament; it's the First Testament and the Second Testament." And then people say, "No, it's not that. You need to call it the Hebrew Scriptures and the Christian Scriptures." And and they argue and argue, and they do try to push their point. But anyway, I digress. We are a movement that was anti-Caesar because mm-hmm. the Caesars of the time when Jesus was around, their title was Lord and Savior. Mm. And so for a follower of Christ to say, no, Christ is Lord and Savior, that was radical. Mm-hmm. That was a radically anti-government saying. Mm-hmm. And so in my understanding, even though I talk about my party and my political persuasions, my first loyalty is always to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I believe that both sides of the political spectrum, far right, far left, and some in between, it's Caesar. Mm-hmm. And as a Christian, my allegiance is not to Caesar, my allegiance is to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we can find some agreement too, where you say that all political entities are corrupt. Yeah, the system's corrupt, for sure. Yeah, I can totally agree with that. There's the common ground that we have right there.
Yes, yeah. I'm confused how this was mental gymnastics to not offend somebody. You did really well because I can't find anything. I was like, he's going to do it. Something's going to slip. But no, you're an expert. You're a pro.
I'm a pastor of a church. You have to do that. That's survival.
Yeah, I bet. Well, sadly, as far as woke goes, as someone who was supremely liberal, like militantly liberal for quite a while, I was really operating out of fear and trauma for quite a while. And I wasn't able to look at things from a logical point of view. I didn't do any source research. I just listened to what people told me, what the news told me. I never backed up anything. And I also, like, do you remember when all the chicks were wearing the cat hats and
yes.
the Me Too yes. and grab them by the kitty cat and mm-hmm. all that? Mm-hmm. I totally was all over that. There was another thing where, like, if you wore a safety pins, you were saying you were an ally. It was like a way to just signal to people without having to come out and say it. And oh my goodness, the amount of attacks I got for being like, I'm an ally, let me be your ally. It was just like, that was the end for me. I was done. I was like, you know what? It's not even worth it, because the people who are in their trauma, the people who are in their victim status, for all legitimate reasons, not saying you don't have reasons to be there. I had my reasons to be there. It's a part of our development. It's totally fine. You're right on track. They're not capable of receiving other realities that don't fit that narrative, and they will twist your words and your whatever you're trying to give them, they will twist it around. And it comes also to a white savior mentality where, you know, whether you think you have it or not, it's perceived that you have it. Mm-hmm. And it just became not worth it. It's much better just to, like, do my own thing, take care of my stuff. If someone wants something or some assistance, they'll ask. I'll be invited in. It's definitely like stay in your own lane now, because it's just too much work.
Yeah.
And there's a legitimate concern, and this is big for me as I don't want to call myself a scholar, but I study Native American studies, multicultural and gender studies, religion and history at Chico State.
It sounds like a real liberal degree there, Amber.
I actually am a really liberal person. It's fascinating. There was the Friends of the Indians. This is mm-hmm. such an important concept in my mind because it's so indicative of what we do as human beings. And it's not coming from a place of malice, but it actually put so much harm on the Native community and the children. And the people thought they were being helpful. They thought they were being kind. And I think that oftentimes, even in my own self, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking I'm being helpful and I'm thinking I'm being kind, but am I just being dumb because I don't understand these people and their culture and what they're doing and what they need? And that gave me even more commitment to just being like, oh yeah, that sucks for you guys, but I'm not getting in it unless you're like, hey, Amber, come get in this over here, because it just causes more problems. And I think we all need to look at ourselves and our perceptions of what we believe is the right thing for other people to do in their lives, and check that.
So you were talking about what some of the shifts that you had in your understanding. Let me go back to Jesse in the Reagan days, the Reagan years, Jesse Kearns,
the Reaganomics.
I was also in a church that was a lot more theologically conservative, and a church that was anti-gay, anti a lot of things. It was a fairly conservative church that I was attending at the time. And I had all sorts of very false ideas planted in my head about other people as far as people in the LGBTQ community. I hung in there because I grabbed onto a straw man, a straw person. And, oh yeah, well, this is what a gay person is like. And this is, and I believed a lot of the lies about, you know, well, they're out there to convert your kids into, you know, the gay, they always talk about the gay agenda.
The gay agenda.
It wasn't until I met a gay Christian, a gay minister, in fact, in the Tenderloin District in San Francisco when I was there doing a mission trip, that I finally said, this person is a lot more Christ-like than some of the other people in my lives who are out there saying, I hate gays and you should too, you know. And so that was a part of the shift, but it had to do with meeting somebody, sitting down at a table with somebody who, when I first met at the table, thought that I was fundamentally in opposition to, and then coming to find out that this person actually became very instrumental in my understanding of what it really means to be a Christian. So it's interesting how we have these little epiphanies in life that are related to the people that we meet.
Yeah, someone said you should be liberal when you're younger and more conservative as you get older. Yeah. And I was like, well, that's working for me. I don't know.
Where it seems to be going the other way with me.
But we also were raised in different cultures. Sure. Like paganism is a much more liberal, you know, worldview, and Christianity traditionally isn't. At least in the institutionalized ways. And I think that's what we're talking about, is like those ministers in your Reaganomic days and some of the, what I would consider far left extremists at this time, are putting off that same kind of energy. It's like all gays are Satanists. All Trump supporters are Hitler. It's like, those are not true statements. Are there some bad Trump supporters? I am 100% sure there are. Are there some gay people that have an agenda and they're doing creepy shit? I'm sure there are. Yeah. But it doesn't mean all gay people. It doesn't mean all Christians. It doesn't mean all pagans. It doesn't mean all Trump supporters. And when we get into any of that kind of thought process, we're still coming from that victimization. And we're still trying to enforce our worldview on the external world instead of keeping our side of the street clean.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I'm against.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet we manage.
Yeah.
Well, we manage.
Well, we manage because we decided that we weren't going to be those people, right? That our spirituality is like our core self, and that at the core of every spirituality, as someone who's love studying those, and I would consider a conspiracy theorist at this point to be a spirituality, that when you get to your core, you're able to be safe in your core. Gays aren't a threat to you because you're not going to be converted to gay. I'm not a threat to Hitler, Trump people, because I'm not going to be Hitler, because I'm essentially a liberal. You know what I mean? Right. So it's when you get core values in yourself, you're able to hold your space without feeling threatened that other people aren't. And that's the part of the healing journey. And you had your healing journey with the Reaganomics, and I had my healing journey with militant feminism.
But yeah, I still see you and consider you a feminist.
I think that most people would consider me a feminist.
Yeah.
I don't consider myself a feminist. To me, feminism is we're going to do to you what you did to us. It's a step in the right direction. It was part of my evolution. Now I am more of a everything is a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. It requires a holistic view. For the world that I want to live in, I can't be segregating sex, gender, race, color, religion, anything, nothing. I'm feeling so much love and joy from when you said that you saw the Christ light in me, and I really appreciate that. And mm-hmm. I look for that in everyone. Mm-hmm. And I know that the darkness is in everyone also,
yeah.
But I'm not going to pump up your darkness. I'm not going to cow to your darkness. I'm going to talk to your light. And if your light can't talk to me, then you just don't get to talk to me, and you don't get mm-hmm. to be a part of my thought processes, and you just don't.